We come today to Romans chapter 12, resuming in verse 11, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. Let's read beginning in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Not slothful in business means not slothful in diligence. You know, be on fire for Christ. He saved you from hell, so don't take that for granted. Live for him like you know it's true because you do know it's true. If you're really saved, you do. 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer. Rejoicing in hope means looking forward to the good times to come. Christians can always be happy about their present circumstances. I should say Christians can't always be happy about their present circumstances. But we can always be joyful over the great future that we have. And prayer will help us to maintain that eternal perspective. 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. We shouldn't be selfish. If we are Christians, if we are a Christian, then we should be concerned about others who are Christians, especially. If a Christian needs our help, then we should care enough to do whatever we can to help them out in whatever area they might need that help. It could be an encouraging word. It could be talking to them about the Word of God. It could be anything. 14, bless them who persecute you. Bless and curse not. In other words, be like Jesus who sacrificed himself on behalf of those who offended him with their sin. He just kept suffering and dying for them even though they were offending him as he was hanging on the cross. And for that matter, he suffered and died for all of us who have offended him. So God wants us to be good to those who are bad to us as well. 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. So we are to be sensitive to the feelings of others. If someone is happy, then be happy because they're happy. If someone is sad, then share in their sadness. And whatever you do, don't try to be upbeat and bubbly when you're around them because that's like pouring salt on a wound. I mean, that's just, some people are so insensitive. You know, sometimes you have a legitimate reason to be sad, okay? And then somebody comes along and they're going to cheer you up by being all bubbly and happy, and it's so out of place, and it's the worst thing in the world you could do to somebody who has a legitimate reason to be sad. 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. There should never be any social, educational, or economic barriers in Christ. Wealthy Christians shouldn't think that they're better than poor Christians. Poor Christians shouldn't dislike wealthy Christians. The common laborer who works for minimum wage is just as important as a Christian billionaire, and that's the way they need to see each other. So one has the ability to make money and the other doesn't. So what? Money's not important. Not to God it isn't. It's the person's heart. It's a person's walk with him. And you know what? If a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, they're not going to look down on any other Christian, because that sort of thing is abhorrent to Christ. 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Never say, I'm going to get that person back for what they did to me. Getting someone back makes you as sinful as the one who hurt you in the first place. 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, be a good person. There are certain things that most people agree are proper behavior. Don't violate those universal principles of goodness if you're a Christian. You're the last person who should be doing that. 18. If it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So, in other words, don't be the reason for trouble. Bend over backwards to get along with others. Of course, sometimes it doesn't matter how nice you are, because it still won't be enough for some people. And it's important to recognize that as well. 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When we get revenge, then we are attempting to do God's job. Getting someone back also suggests that God cannot be trusted to carry out justice, so you have to do it yourself. 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be good to those who have been bad to you. Be kind to them, because your kindness will be a contrast to their bad behavior and hopefully make them feel guilty, because they should feel guilty. Getting someone back is tempting, but showing the kindness of God to them may actually wake them up, because they'll see the contrast. Maybe it'll cause them to repent. Maybe they'll get saved just because you're kind to them when they're bad to you. Verse 21, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, don't allow evil to win. When we respond to evil with sin, then sin wins. When we respond to evil within the boundaries of Scripture, then sin loses. So destroy sin by being good. Good is a more powerful force than evil, you know. Chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Respect all authority. Those who have been put in power, I should say, have been ordained to that position by God. And we may not understand how or why it's true, but it is. And they need to be obeyed, and they need to be respected because of their position. Even if you disagree with some of the things that they do, even if you don't like them personally, it has nothing to do with it. More on this verse too. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment. Parking tickets are judgment from God. Speeding tickets are judgment from God. Being arrested for drunken driving is a judgment from God. Being put in prison is a judgment from God. Being executed is a judgment from God. When we are punished for breaking the law, we are being punished because we rebelled against God's authority. And always remember this. I've said this many times. As long as the law doesn't insist that we go against Scripture, we must obey it. Or
we ourselves are going against Scripture.
Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same.
You hear about things like this every now and then. A police officer wants to pull a car over because their taillight doesn't work, right? So he flashes his lights for a routine traffic stop, and all of a sudden the car takes off 90 miles an hour. Why? Why would he do that? What's he running from? Because his back seat is full of illegal drugs. See, you don't have to be afraid if you don't break the law. Verse 4.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil.
God wants there to be law and order in this world, which is why he established civil government to enforce it. The government is God's instrument to keep people from hurting each other. The further a nation is from God, the less they will govern themselves and the more they will need to be governed by civil authorities.
We sometimes hear politicians say that the United States should spread democracy and freedom throughout the world, but there are some people in this world who cannot handle democracy or freedom. Some people cannot handle it because freedom and democracy will not work unless the people of a nation govern themselves. Some nations need to be ruled with an iron fist because the people are too immoral to govern themselves. And if you want to know the truth, and if you're a Christian who's walking with the Lord, you know this is a true truth. That's the direction we're headed in this country, which is why we're going to continue to lose our freedoms if there isn't repentance. And immoral people cannot be trusted with freedom because they'll use that freedom to do destructive things.
5.
Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. It's smart to obey laws because it makes sense to avoid pain, but most of all, because it makes sense to be in God's will. You never want to be on the opposite side of God with regard to anything.
Verse 6.
For this cause pay ye tribute or taxes also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. God wants us to pay our taxes because if we don't, then we're cheating him. It's true. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of their pay. We're cheating the people who work for the government. And we're cheating God because we're not obeying him. We're not giving him the obedience that he deserves. Taxes are the way we pay for government services. And whether you like the government or not, they deserve to be paid. And if we don't like how some of our tax money is being spent, then we need to work within the rules to try to change things. But until things change, we are responsible to pay our taxes. That's just the way it is.
7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
In other words, give people what God says they've got coming. Not what you think they've got coming.